Accused of all this sexual abuse scandal that rocked the church, you remember, not too long ago. Well, guess what happened under Pope John Paul II? Law was forced to resign as Archbishop of Boston in 2002 over the abuse scandal. He was blamed for allowing priests known to have sexually abused minors to be moved from parish to parish instead of being sacked. The Vatican defended him and later, in a decision that shocked many, gave him the top position at Rome's prestigious Basilica of St. Mary Major. So here we have, indeed, the true colors of Rome being shown. Anyway, we were talking about public policy. I'm going to go back to these four different themes, and I want you to think about them again as we summarize them. You have reactive policy. You have policies aimed at the inefficient provision of goods and services that could otherwise be provided by markets. And you have policies that are proactive in two different categories, one being proactive policies aimed at redistribution, and another, proactive policies aimed at changing or modifying one's behavior. And these things are always based on some philosopher's ideal for society, whether it's a seatbelt law or a helmet law or a truancy law or an anti-spanking law or how we are to raise our children law or a marriage license law or, you know, getting a blood test prior to getting married. These are all things aimed at changing your behavior. These are all things that are proactive as well. They are things which government takes a role to correct the inefficiencies or ineffectiveness of society. The entire public school movement can be seen as a proactive policy of changing one's behavior. After all, the whole goal of the public school is to correctly indoctrinate people who had not understood correctly the principles envisioned by these great philosophers. I say great euphemistically, obviously. They are not great. They are people who are godless, who hated liberty, who hate the Bible, who hate the things that we cherish, and yet they're out there indoctrinating the next generation. Why? Because those who hold the ideals of paganism, the ideals of socialism, the ideals that are opposed to liberty, have inundated the public school and taken over the public school with their ideas and are using it as a front. Or not a front, they're using it as the lead weapon in their assault against those who cherish liberty, who cherish the values that Christians have held for centuries. And so we need to be aware as Christians, and other people need to be aware, that there are four kinds of public policy exist, and that in general, the only one that we can uphold if we're going to be either constitutionalists or libertarians or true to, I think, our faith as Christians is reactive public policy. We can see some limited use for government. We can see that having a government defend us against predators, whether it be microorganisms or animals or local criminals or international predators, this is an important aspect or function for government. We cheer on the founding fathers for trying to give us these sorts of protections. On the other hand, however, when government oversteps this bounds and tries to actually impose certain philosophies upon us, from various people to change our behavior or to take money from us and give it to other people who don't work, who want it more than we do, want our money more than we want it, for instance. I don't know if that's possible. Can you have somebody want your money more than you do? Probably not. Anyway, they still take from one group and give to another through various programs. When government steps in and does things that markets do fine by themselves, when they provide goods and services like the post office or like the building inspection agency, or a county mechanic, or a county clerk, or a register of deeds, or provide insurance services, or investment programs. These things are not necessary to be provided for by states. They don't do a very good job at it. They're subjected to all sorts of bureaucratic inefficiencies and ineffectiveness, and it might as well be done by markets. So Christians have to have knowledge of these four things to first of all be able to understand what's going on with public policy, but they need to also take a stand vociferously, that's speaking out loud and decrying these things as they come up. We need to oppose all kinds of proactive policy. We're not interested as Christians, we should not be at any rate, in changing people's behavior or in redistributing wealth from one class to another. We're not interested either in having government take over in so-called public enterprise fashion different kinds of businesses and having them run it instead. Now, I'm going to pause here and I should say digress and say that there are some Christians who have, I think, a very consistent, although I don't agree with this view, a very consistent view of how there should be some proactive policy out there. I'm not talking about the divine writers here who actually believe that government should have certain criminal laws and force people to behave in a certain way. I'm talking about the theonomic school, the Christian Reconstructionists, who believe that certain rules that are listed in the Old Testament, as well as some in the New, should be enforced by government or by the state. These would include sometimes in some people's minds dietary prohibitions. In other people's minds, they wouldn't go back to those kosher implements, but they would simply say their government should implement rules against sodomy, against adultery, against incorrigible children, and even impose a death penalty on them for these things, or for not going to church on Sunday. The government should be installed in people and enforcing rules against worshiping other gods in violation of the First and Second Commandments. And so they see a proactive role for the state. I don't agree with this. I think it's wrong. But I will say this much for folks who hold that particular perspective. They are being consistent in saying, look, we don't like any proactive policy that government does unless it was specifically laid down in God's Word in the Old Testament, and therefore we need to go ahead and apply those rules today. They are something that are things that are important for our civilization, our society, to exist and continue. Well, there's your quick overview on Christian Worldview this morning about the four kinds of public policy and the Christian response to them. There's so much more that could be said about them. Be happy to entertain your phone calls and questions about them here on the program. Appreciate you listening this morning, and we're going to be back in just a minute after a quick break.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace.
Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently 53 degrees in Greenville, going to get up only to 63 degrees today, and there are going to be scattered thunderstorms and rain. So if you're making your way out to work this morning, make sure you be prepared for the gloomy day ahead. I want to remind listeners of a couple things. One is the Institute on the Constitution, which is occurring every Monday night. Started last night, and we continue for the next 12 weeks. You sit in class and have a 30-minute informative video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo of Faulkner University. And then you'll have a great discussion led by Pastor Tony Romo and others. You can call him at 864-269-1443 for information or to register. That's 269-1443. Hope you do give him a call and hope you register. I would also like to give a plug again for our friends at the Times Examiner. Pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. You can also call Bob Dill at 864-268-0576 or Laverro, and they'll set you up with a subscription that's only $25 a year, and then you get a paper delivered every week to your door. If you live out of state, the price is $27, but we'd encourage you to get this paper, get the conservative or libertarian slant on life in Greenville, as well as great columnists that are nationally syndicated and local favorites. If you want to get informed on the issues, go ahead and pick up the Times Examiner and the great columns and weekly information that it provides. 864-268-0576. Confederate Memorial Day is coming up on Saturday, April the 30th at 2 p.m. in Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina, sponsored by the Lawrence Briars Sons of Confederate Veterans Camp. For information and details, call James DeShields after 6 p.m. on weekdays in Lawrence County, 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029. We talked a lot about public policy a little bit earlier. Today is a day for education a little bit. We end up spending so much time on news stories, quite frankly, that I think that's once in a while you have to jump back and talk about some economics or talk about some public policy themes that people can really get their teeth into. I know it's a little bit harder to think about these issues sometimes, but it's very important and crucial that Christians start thinking again, because we've just missed so much over the past decades. We've just gone downhill in our understanding of both the Constitution and the Bible, and we need to get us back to our proper roots and have a proper Christian worldview once again. Glad there are others out there working for the same cause, seeing some great advocates for the Christian worldview, even here in the Upstate. I think of Dr. Tim Terrell as well as Dr. Stephen Yates, professors in the Upstate here who are doing a tremendous job in promoting the Christian worldview, but there are so few and far between who are doing so. Well, what is happening in the news headlines here? Well, there's a few things that we might mention to you that a number of people have brought up here at TRN research staff. One is the European Union is fretting right now that the U.S. is going to enforce its visa pledge. United Press International makes the report that the European Union predicts that only 6 of its 25 members will make a deadline for including biometric data in new passports, raising the prospect that visas are required for the first time for millions of transatlantic visitors to the United States. And so, you know, this is all part of the Patriot Act and other stuff. Did you know anytime you cross a border now, you've got an infrared scan or whatever it is of your, some kind of red light coming through of your fingerprint, your thumbprint. That's all new stuff. If you have an old passport, these rules aren't going to apply to you as long as it's still not expired yet. But as soon as the new regulations come into effect, anybody with a new passport that does not have the biometric data in there, including the thumbprint, will not be admitted into the U.S. They want to know all about you, folks. They're tracking you from the moment you're from cradle to grave, certainly, but that's their goal. But now they're tracking you at the border with these kinds of passports. And even Europeans who have typically been able to come over here without visas are now all of a sudden going to have to have them. I wonder if they'll retaliate and make us have visas if we want to travel over to Europe. Interesting that's going on. Beware the Patriot Act, folks. Don't think it's just an innocuous plan to help George Bush protect America. It's a insidious plot to undermine your rights, and has been undermining your rights, and government and the state knows it. There is no question about it. We have here a couple other interesting stories. Chubby sheriff violates the Privacy Act in Florida. Orange County, Florida, sheriff used the driver's license records to contact a woman who wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper criticizing his staff's use of a taser stun guns and describing himself as fat. Some say Orange County Sheriff Kevin Beery violated federal privacy law when he had his aides use the records to get the addresses of Alice Gawronski. He sent her a letter accusing her of slander. It is illegal to access driver's license database to obtain personal information except for clear law enforcement purposes under the U.S. Driver Policies Protection Act of 1994. So here the Associated Press is showing that this chubby sheriff is violating the Privacy Act. This should not surprise us, by the way. Why would we expect that government really would not use these records and information for their own personal nefarious purposes? It doesn't make sense that they would. Here's another reason why the Patriot Act is leading to all sorts of problems for those who love liberty. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we have an email this morning from Hunter, who simply writes, say, John, I just wanted to say I've spent a little time on your site now, and I'm glad to hear, that's Policy of Liberty, I'm glad to hear of a fellow libertarian speaking about allodial property rights. I've been trying to tell people about this for a few years. That is truly one of the keys to a free society. Allodialism is a topic in and of that we could take various shows to cover. Allodial property rights are the idea that you have absolute control of your property. It cannot be taxed or regulated by the state, and the latter being probably the more egregious of the two events that the state intrudes into one's property. If we have allodial property rights, we have the ultimate check on government. We could even inject government itself, or the state itself, I should say, if necessary, when it becomes too outrageous. At any rate, appreciate the comment, Hunter, and at some point we will talk about allodial property rights on Christian Worldview. It will be something that that will come up again. The research staff found a little article by Peyton Knight called We Must Never Let the Terrorists Win and sent this off to me. It came from News with Views on April 10th. It says the following: the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly described by, to the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That is the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It was designed and ratified by our nation's founders to protect Americans from a federal government that, as our founders fear, would grow ever intrusive, overbearing, and downright power mad. Certain provisions of the Patriot Act irreparably harm this critical constitutional liberty. As we've written before, terrorism should never be used as an excuse for government to grab unconstitutional power and monitor then track the whereabouts of law-abiding Americans. In the days following the terrorist attacks, Donald Rumsfeld stated, "The people who committed these acts are clearly determined to try to force the United States of America and our values from the world, or to respond by curtailing our freedoms. If we do that, the terrorists have won. We must never let them win, and that is why the American Policy Center has joined an important new group of network of conservative and libertarian groups called Patriots to Restore Checks and Balances." This is going to be chaired by former Congressman Bob Barr from Georgia, a stalwart in the fight to protect constitutional liberty. In a recent press conference in Washington, D.C., Barr announced the immediate goal of the coalition is to modify a few of the more extreme provisions of the Patriot Act. Now is the time for Congress to review and consider amending these provisions to protect Americans' most fundamental freedoms and bring the law in line with the checks and balances demanded by the Constitution. This PRCB is urging Congress to modify the following extreme unconstitutional provisions of the Patriot Act and lists the sections 213 and 215. The first section allows federal agents to secretly search your home or business, even confiscate your personal possessions without our notifying you. Section 2, that's pretty bad. 215, a section allows federal agents to securely or secretly collect records about you, including such personal information as your medical history, library records, even records on firearm purchases. And Section 802, this section expands the definition of domestic terrorism so broadly that ordinary people simply exercising their First Amendment rights, such as pro-life demonstrators, could be classified and charged as terrorists. So we appreciate their efforts there. He says, "Our goal is not to gut the Patriot Act, although it should be," said Barr. PRCB is seeking modest changes to only a few extreme sections of the law. American Conservative Union Chairman Donald Keene added, "There are a few issues more important in the congressional agenda in 2005 than the Patriot Act. What is at stake is Americans' Fourth Amendment freedoms guaranteed by our Constitution. There are a few powerful forces, namely Justice Department and the White House, that want to make these extreme provisions permanent. Every American needs to voice..." No, not Christian George Bush. He wouldn't want to make those permanent, would he? Oh, well, maybe so. "Every American needs to voice their objection to make certain that this doesn't happen. This battle is being fought right now, and we have no time to lose. As Benjamin Franklin said, those who are willing to trade freedom for security deserve neither freedom nor security. We must never let the terrorists win." And we appreciate that that commentary coming this morning as we try to learn a little bit better about what's going on with this Patriot Act and why it's so important to for Christians to know about it and oppose the Patriot Act. It's just simply a diabolical plot that's being used to undermine our liberties even now. Well, at any rate, we have a number of other articles that are of interest this morning, too. I want to try to comment on a couple of these before we go to our final break and come to the final segment. There is an article written by Bill Bonner. I believe this is off of LouRockwell.com, calling "Paving the Road to Hell." That's what he entitles it to be. And in this article, he talks about Woodrow Wilson, how Woodrow Wilson has been one of those who set America on a course of anti-liberty and the philosophy, the vain philosophies that we now adhere to today. He looked upon, and trying to summarize this article, he looked at Harding and Chester Arthur as being two great presidents because they just left the economy alone. They didn't meddle with people. Whereas Woodrow Wilson had quite the opposite effect. Woodrow Wilson went out of his way to instill more socialism, greater government, and a more powerful state than his predecessors had ever done. Here are some of the things that he says about Wilson. "Woodrow Wilson was a thinking man, but his thoughts nearly always brought him to want to boss other men around. He was eager to disturb the plans of millions. His own vision of a better world might be forcibly imprinted on everybody's landscape. Woodrow Wilson had a self-regarding arrogance and smugness, masquerading as righteousness, said historian Paul Johnson, which was always there and grew with the exercise of power. Vanity got the best of him. He also had the polite constraints of bourgeoisie society, simple truth, or constitutional government. He was like so many Democrats who can wish their neighbor good day in the morning and vote to take his property or his life in the afternoon. That's a great way to describe them. Good day. Wish you good day in the morning, and after that, just go ahead and take their property, their life. At any rate, he talks about a few other things here, but let me skip to the end of the articles. We're coming up to a break. From humbug to farce to disaster in the end of these interventions, he was just the opposite of what Wilson had hoped for. Instead of increasing America's friends in the region, a number of her sworn enemies multiplied. For the next two generations, many Latin American countries cried, "Yankee, go home," practically became the national anthem. Wilson had sent a force of 6,675 punitive expedition down to the Rio Grande and to hunt down and kill the splinter Pancho Villa, which led to a lot of this. All of Wilson's great movements ended in the same way, in disgrace, yielding the exact opposite of the improvement which he had promised. This was true of Wilson's wars. It is also true of Wilson's great domestic interventions. Wilson set the Federal Reserve System. Wilson imposed the income tax. Wilson took the federal budget from less than 3% of GDP to over 20%. The Federal Reserve, the creation of excess credit and phony money, was probably Wilson's greatest achievement. Wilson was able to pave the way to America's empire of debt and its biggest disaster ever. Wilson was also in charge of getting us into the League of Nations, what became later the United Nations. Truly the third most evil president in American history, Woodrow Wilson. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Kobing, hearing surprising things, no doubt, this morning, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Kobing.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Kobing. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Kobing, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we always do that here on Christian Worldview. We leave nothing to the imagination. We just come right out and tell you as it is. Liberals are wrong. Public policy based on proactive policies are wrong. Those who promote these things are doing so to the detriment of the vision of the Founding Fathers, liberty, as well as to the detriment of biblical teaching. There is just simply no other way around it. So here it is, folks, stark and true, as you've heard it right here on the Tyranny Response Network on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Yes, I've said it. I've come out of the closet. I've told people what I think about neocons and about all their nefarious plots to start things. I've told you that Woodrow Wilson was evil, that's the state that governs the United States is generally wicked and vile and evil. I haven't minced my words at all. So some people say, well, what a nut, what a crazy guy he is. Look at what a great country we have. Folks, listen, we are being deteriorated inch by inch, little by little, whittled away by the policies of the left. And it's only a few shows out there, in fact, the only one we know about, A Christian Worldview, that's taking a strong stand against these things and trying to wake Christians up. The media, which is just otherwise dominated by people that are ignorant, that don't know about public policy or economics, and that they don't much have much on the ball either in terms of their understanding of the scriptures or of Christian faith. Well, at any rate, we have a couple other things to discuss this morning. One of them is going to be to look at Condoleezza Rice. Another is this quick story real quickly here from the New York Times. A listener sent this in. I believe it was Nelson who mailed it in. GOP consultant weds his male partner, by Adam Nagorny. He says that Washington, April 8th, after Arthur J. Finkelstein, a prominent Republican consultant who directed a series of hard-edged political campaigns to elect conservatives in the United States and Israel over the last 25 years, said Friday he had married his male partner in a civil ceremony at his home in Massachusetts. Mr. Finkelstein, 59, who has made a practice of defeating Democrats by trying to demonize them as liberal, said in a brief interview that he had married his partner of 40 years to ensure that the couple had the same benefits available to married heterosexual couples. I believe that visitation rights, health care benefits, and other human relationship contacts that are taken for granted by all married people should be available to partners, he said. So here is an example of the Republican Party. Anytime people like to poke fun at the Libertarian Party for having a few people like this in there, I always turn around and like to point out the Republican Party is the same way. Now, I know you constitutionalists out there going to say, but our party's pure. Well, it's pure and very small. I have to agree that there you don't find too many constitutionalists, if any, who are marrying their male partners, unless they're females, of course. But at any rate, there's very few who are pure, and certainly they're not found in the Republican Party. Thanks for sending in that story, Nelson. Appreciate you bringing it to our attention. I always like to know the little foibles that are going on among these Republicrat types. We are also sick of being a clone of Bush. Condoleezza Rice betrays the citizens of America, an article sent by TRN research staff. Frosty Woodridge, on April 8th, wrote with News with Views, if you enjoyed an audience with Condi Rice, what would you say to her? How would you rip into her for berating American citizens as vigilantes if you lived in Southern California, where illegal aliens number 3 million? An average American citizen, Liz DeMarco, wrote Condi Rice a letter. Ms. Rice, your statements in Mexico on March 10th, 2005, have come to my attention. You visit Mexico representing the United States, and to all intents and purposes, you betrayed American citizens on behalf of Mexico. So many incidents occurred that we have recorded. Been recorded that my difficulty in writing this letter has been where to begin. American citizens will be impressed that you have mastered George speak in such a short time. In your interview with Mr. Alatorre of television Azteca, you were asked about national security issues, and Mr. Alatorre made reference to the security and the borderline, the narco traffic, the mafias taking control of the jails. Your response was, I would like to think of it as we are together concerned about our joint security. We very often on September 11th think about the threats of terrorism, the need for border security, but of course all countries are vulnerable in this way, and so the work that we've done together on smart borders, the work that we've done together to make our borders more secure, this protects Mexicans and this protects Americans. What work might that be, Mrs. Rice? And she continues on saying, snipers are killing our Border Patrol agents, and there is little, if any, effort to apprehend them. One day in early February, Border Patrol agents seized 1,580 pounds of marijuana valued at $1.2 million. Since October 1st, 2004, agents in the Tucson sector have seized 177,000 pounds of marijuana valued at nearly $142 million. Crime is rampant on our borders. The majority of terrorists in the September 11, 2001 fiasco came through Mexico and over our smart borders into the United States. Well, I'm not sure that, at least in God's economy, we would say that drug selling or marijuana selling is a crime. Might be against the law in the United States, but if that's the best she's got a little bit more to work on here. Assassination of border security people certainly doesn't sound too Christian, I have to admit. This could be a serious crime. I don't know how rampant this is that's going on, but murderers, Mexican or otherwise, need to be apprehended and brought to justice. I agree entirely with that. The whole border thing is a very important issue, I think, for conservatives and libertarians today. How we handle it is perhaps even more important. Do we just go out of our way to use the state, which has failed in keeping the border closed, to try again, give it another shot? Or do we use another system to regulate the border? Now, I've advocated in my columns recently in the Times Examiner that we need to privatize the border entirely, using contracts and allowing the free market agencies of the free market to help with its patrolling and making sure terrorists stay out. Anyway, that's an interesting way to end Christian Worldview. I probably stirred up a few thoughts there. Unfortunately, we're not going to have time for callers because we've reached the end of our show for the day. Sorry about the technical problems today, folks, and hope you were able to listen and enjoy the show. And hopefully we'll get our recording snafus and troubles worked out over time here. We're also trying to expand our range still on the FM dial, so stay tuned for that. That should happen any time now. We're just waiting for a few final things to transpire, and we'll be underway with a wider range of broadcast here in the upstate of South Carolina. We'll welcome you back to Christian Worldview tomorrow morning. And don't forget, Thursday we have Chuck Baldwin from the Constitution Party, former vice presidential candidate from the Constitutional Party, here on the air with us on Christian Worldview. Until tomorrow then, God bless.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans and need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.